titled Idols. And I want to just speak to you briefly, but it's a very serious message. And Trevor, I want to thank you. The word that you gave is in line with the message this morning. We've been blessed for about 2 months now with having no load shedding. Who's happy about that? Gee, I wish you'd say amen to everything I say. So, how many of you have missed sitting in traffic on the way home in the afternoons? Where a 30K trip takes an hour and a half to 2 hours. Who's missed it? Come on, tell me. I know you love being in your cars. What about how many of you missed getting ready for supper and the lights go out? And then you get ready for takeout. We've got a guest over. Kirsty says she wants more takeout. My child, you can take me out anytime you want to. And how many of you have missed trying to manage in the dark? Who can say that they've walked in the dark and not managed to stumble over something in their house? Say, oh, I wish I hadn't put that there. So, the decisions that has been made in this country about electricity supply have been poor. And it's resulted in blockages and problems and struggles. The economy has not progressed the way it should have progressed. Our lives have changed. I invested in a generator which I've never had to use. Wow, it was a great investment. But it's changed our lives. It's changed the way we think. We're facing a new crisis. We're facing a crisis with water. These things cause blockages and problems. But there's things in our lives that cause spiritual blockages and spiritual problems. And if we don't get them right, then it's like spiritual load shedding. And we get stuck in the traffic. And we start stumbling in the dark. And we start having problems. And instead of eating at the Lord's table, we've got to go and find, and we go and sit at the wrong table, and we eat something that hasn't been prepared for us. If we're not right in the spirit. And that's what I want to speak to you about today. There's things in our lives that impact us. And God wants to deal with them. He wants to bless us with the most immeasurable blessings in our lives. Who knows that God loves us and He's a God who wants to bless us? Who wants to be blessed this morning? Wow, that wasn't even as good as who's not seeing load shedding. Come on, don't you want to be blessed? Amen. Let me hear you this morning, church. Is this too loud? Is it okay? Good. Right. We want to have a look at three things today. Some of the blessings God wants to give us as His children. Secondly, we want to look at what causes the blockages to the blessings. And thirdly, we want to deal with those blockages. Simple message. South Africa is in serious trouble, and this is our new spirit. Trevor was in line in the spirit this morning. South Africa is in serious trouble. We're in the midst of a drought. In KZN, there's a number of towns that got no water. In some of the towns, we heard in the news this week that the water supply has dropped so low that the seawater has managed to wash in and contaminate, and they've had salt water coming out of the taps. Can you believe it? Imagine opening the tap and you want to drink and, salt water, creating absolute chaos. And I read a news report, and I don't want to get it wrong. It says this: South Africa is facing its worst drought since 1982. That's a long time ago. It's 33 years ago. With more than 2.7 million, now listen to this, households, not people, households. Let's say there's six in every household. Multiply 2.7 by six. Facing water shortages across the country. In Gauteng, what they did is, we heard it last Sunday, they pumped water out of the Vaal Dam, which is a very shallow dam, into the other dams, where they're not as big, but they're deeper, so that the evaporation won't have such a massive effect with the wind blowing and just sucking the water. And it blows it elsewhere. So we've had almost nothing. And Trevor said, in the word, don't panic. And it's actually in my notes. I'm concerned. I've been getting worried about it. If we don't have water, we don't have food. Crops fail. Costs skyrocket. Lives are impacted. Livestock dies. People die. The economy is impacted. Everything. If we don't have water, it's like we got staple foods like mealy meal and things like that. But without water, we can still do a foodless fast for maybe 40 days. But you can't do a water fast. So we need water. So I was actually thinking about this. And it was on my mind. And I was reading in the Word. And and a scripture jumped out. And my first point this morning is, here's everything we need. And it came through in the message this morning. We can call on the Lord, He will give us rain. But I want to tell you, there's a very big but. And that but is part of the message this morning. Turn in your Bibles with me to Exodus 23. And I'm quoting out of the New Living Translation. And it's just said what I need to say today in such a good way. So your Bible might say it's slightly different. But listen to what I've got to say to you this morning. Exodus 23, starting in verse 25 and to 26. We know the scripture fairly well. It's part of the law. It says, "You must serve only the Lord your God. If you do, I will bless you with what? With food and water." Now I was pondering about what are we going to do without water? God says He will bless us with food and water. It's in His Word. And on top of that, I will protect you from illness. And there will be no miscarriages or infertility in your land. And I will give you long and full lives. Who agrees with me that is an awesome promise from God? But He starts with absolute basics. He will bless us with food and with water. Who says with me this morning, "Lord, we need water"? I mean, everybody can lift their hand. But you would say to me this morning, "But that's in the law." And we know that we are not under law, we are under grace. But God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if you turn in your Bibles to Matthew 6 and verse 31, and I'd like you to turn there because I want to show you. If you've got one of those fancy Bibles, it's red words. And I'm missing out verse 32 for a reason, just for the sake of time. But it starts in 31 and it says, "So don't worry about these things." What did the prophetic word say? Don't worry. Don't worry about these things, saying, "What will we eat? Food. What will we drink? Water. What will we wear? Our clothing, our provision. What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear?" In verse 33, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need." My point right here is God says He will give us everything we need. He won't just give us the basics. He's not just going to give us food. He's not just going to give us water. Not just going to give us clothing. Those are the basics. If you know Maslow's hierarchy of needs, those are the very basic needs. He says, "I will heal you." He said in the Old Testament, "You will not know that your livestock will not bring forth fruit. There will be no barrenness in your land." Neither, it doesn't say your people won't be barren. It says nothing in your land will be barren. So you will bear fruit. That talks about prosperity. It speaks about God's provision. It speaks about in our lives, both physically and spiritually, that we will produce fruit in our lives. He says, "With long lives, I will satisfy you and I will bless you." We have seen too many people passing before their time. You can agree with me. Cancer is a massive problem. And various other diseases and sicknesses. But you should not see these things. God will bless you with everything that you need. He's all we need. He's El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. There's nothing that we need that He will not provide for us. And He has told us in His Word, and He's promised us in His Word, that He will give us everything that we need. And right now, this thing is just unclipped at the back and it's flopping around. Right now, we need water. We prayed it this morning. "Lord, we need water. We need You to provide rain. We need You to send rain to our land. We need water." His Word says, "I will give you what you need to drink." And by implication, He will feed us because it will produce crops. And then we will produce fruit. We will have productivity, no barrenness in our land. So we will be able to get the clothes we need. In the old days, the animals would produce the skins and things that they would have worn. God will give us everything we need. He's promised us this not only in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament. He's promised to clothe us. He's our provider. He's promised to heal us. He's our healer. He's promised us long and full lives. That speaks about continued well-being. But we need to seriously pray that God will give us the breakthrough so that we can participate in that which is promised us. Because if we're facing drought, that means something that God has promised us has not arrived. There's something missing. There's something missing. Why has it not arrived? Something is missing. You can agree with me. If God's word is not being fulfilled, there's something wrong. Amen. We don't like to question God. But the answer is in the word. So my first point is that He's more than enough. He's got everything we need. But there is a big fat condition. I was waiting for Trevor to say, but at the end he said, just worship me. So there was the but just worship me. If we go back to those two scriptures, the second part of this message, or the second point is, when we serve God only, He is everything we need. When we serve God only, He's everything we need. Exodus 23 again. You must serve only the Lord your God. If you do, then I will bless you. There's a key to releasing the blessing. We must serve God only. And it's not just in the Lord. Jesus said this. Seek the kingdom of God, what? Above all else. Above all else, make it your number one priority. God says, serve me only. Make me your one and only priority. And then I will bless you. Then I will be everything you need. So when we start saying, but there's not enough water in this land, then we've got to say, Lord, why? We say, well, we can't be serving you only, God. And remember, God brings rain upon the righteous and the unrighteous. He will bring drought to the righteous and the unrighteous. But it lays in our hands. Remember, Elijah was a man just like you and I. And he prayed. And there was no rain for 3.5 years. And he prayed again. And then they had to run because the rain came. But he was in right standing with God. He said, let them bring their offerings to the Baals. Let them bring their offerings to the false gods. Come on, come on. He gave them all the time in the world. They jumped around and they cut themselves and they performed their ceremony. He said, bring water. Throw it on the altar. Throw it on the altar. And he prepared the offering. And he prayed to God and God sent fire from heaven, which consumed the water, consumed the offering, consumed the altar, consumed everything. Because we serve the living God. But he was in right standing with God. God is saying to us this morning, church, do you serve only the Lord your God? Is He your number one priority? Do you seek His kingdom above all else? You see, we can pray as much as we like. We can fast and pray. We can do what we like. We can stand on our heads and rain won't come. Unless we serve only the Lord our God. Now that's a hard word, isn't it? And remember the other promises that came with it. He will give us food. He will give us water. He will bring none of the diseases upon us that the Egyptians suffered from. So now you say, well, now I'm judging people that are sick. No, I'm not. We live in an imperfect world. But I'm saying there are times in our lives when we face sickness and disease unnecessarily because we are not in right standing with God. Because there are idols in our lives. And no, we're not going to come and grab a microphone and sing. Okay? We're done with the singing for now. Because of the idols in our lives. Because sometimes we move away from serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and we start serving the foreign God. the gods of this nation and of this world.
Is this one working? Yes, wow. Can take it down. It's your mom. So I think not recordings. Josh, sorry. It kind of got me off track. That's a very big if, isn't it? If we want God's blessings, His immeasurable blessings, we must serve only the Lord our God. And that tells you and I that we need to deal with the idols. So it doesn't matter how much we pray. It doesn't matter how hard we try. It's only when we put God first and seek Him first that the breakthrough will come. And who agrees we need breakthrough here this morning? Wow, at least some people agree with me. Who agrees we need breakthrough? Do you don't think we need rain? Amen. We need breakthrough. But we need to put God first. That is my second point. And the third point is idols. The title of this message. Our problem, our load shedding issue, the thing causing the blockage to the blessing is the idols in our lives. We get very easily distracted in church. I can only say this because I'm like one of us. I do the same thing. We get distracted and we put things before God often. And we make those things effectively. Anything that is put before God is an idol. Who agrees with me? Anything where God is not first is an idol. Amen. That's quite a hard word, isn't it? Things in our lives that we put before God create idols. And they create blockages. Do you agree with me? Is the penny dropped? Is this too loud? I can just hear myself booming here. Is it too loud out there? Is it okay? All right. If we want water, we need to identify the areas where there are idols in our lives. And I would like to add, in our country. A few weeks ago, the leader of Hamas, who opposed Israel, was welcomed in this country with open arms. Our government has been freely speaking out against Israel. And who knows, the Bible says, if you bless my people, I will bless you. If you curse my people, I will. We need to intercede. Church, we are not here for nothing. We can stand in the gap. It's you and I that can make a difference. We don't only have to deal with our idols. We need to deal with the idols in this nation. Amen. If we want to progress spiritually, we need to ask the Holy Spirit to show us where Jesus is not Lord in our lives and where the kingdom of God is not first. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 17 to 22, we read the account of the man that came to Jesus saying, "Lord, what must I do to be saved?" He had religiously obeyed all the Ten Commandments. He was very religious. He was like you and I, came to church every Sunday. He was a good person. But there was an idol in his life. And Jesus helped him to see it. In Mark chapter 10, verse 21 to 22, Jesus said this. Looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. There's still one thing you haven't done. There's still one thing that is a problem. There's still one thing causing load shedding in your life, preventing you from being saved. He told him, "Go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." At this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Did you notice what that man did? He was upset. He was sad. What Jesus said impacted him. But he made a choice. He did this. Jesus was there. He walked away. It was a choice he made. I'm pointing my finger. You must turn up. I'm just joking. What I'm trying to say this morning is that man made a choice. Jesus offered him life in abundance. And he was sad because he made a choice in his heart and his mind. And he walked away from that abundant life that Jesus had told him he could have. He made a decision, not just in his mind, in his heart. And he went back to his possessions. And he went back to his goods. And the stuff that was precious to him in this life that is so short and so temporary, he didn't put Jesus first. He didn't seek God only. He was obeying all the Ten Commandments. But his money was his God. His money was his idol. Church, I want to challenge you this morning. Is money an idol in your life? I can tell you of so many times that I've come before the Lord and made a commitment and made a decision. But in my heart, I was crying before the Lord, but in my heart, I longed to go back to that sin that I'd just come out of. And I say that with shame and with humility. And I challenge you. Because if it happens to me, it's probably happened to you as well. And it's not just money. We sit in front of the television set. We watch something because it's entertaining. And we say, I'm not going to do that. But God said, have nothing to do with those things of the heathens. Our children become our idols. Our work becomes our idol. How many people, and please don't think I'm judging you in this, but how many people have stayed away from church on a Sunday, the Sabbath rest? And I know it's not the only spiritual Sabbath rest, but it's God wants us to rest because of work. Because you know what? That work has become so important to us that we've got to put it before God. It's an idol. There are idols in our lives. Our health. We go to this doctor and that doctor and we put our trust in them and they become gods in our eyes. And we can't come to church because we're feeling sick. We can't come and ask the divine physician to heal us. And who knows if we come that Sunday morning, if God wouldn't have touched us. Idols in our lives. Where we put circumstances and situations before God. We even put sleep before God. Because instead of waking up at 4:45 or 4:30 in the morning, so we can have a quiet time, because we need to get up and go and serve in that workplace that's an idol. We get up at 4:45, rush, get in the shower and into the car, and there we go. No time for Jesus. I'll pray for you in the car, Lord. But I won't be able to hear your word. I'll just pray. What did we do? We made our sleep our idol. Sorry, I'm just speaking it as it's coming to me this morning. We're dealing with idols in our lives. Is Jesus really number one? Or is he number two or number three? He may be important to us, but he's not that important. I challenge myself this morning. Subtle disagreements with the Word of God, where we don't take like what it says, so we go away from the Word of God and we do what we want to anyway. Just like that ruler who went back to his money, he turned himself because he wanted salvation, but his money was more important. Is Jesus the most important? Let's just take a moment to think about it. What is the Lord? What is the Holy Spirit showing you this morning? He's the one that helps us. He will bring us back on track. What has he dropped into your spirit? What has he dropped into your heart this morning? Are my children more important? Is my sleep more important? Or my sport? Or my hobby? Is Jesus first? Am I serving God only? Or am I serving a whole lot of things and God is just one of the gods in my life? Am I going to be like those prophets of Baal that came and danced around that altar and did what they could? They stood on their heads, they cut themselves, and they couldn't get the offering consumed. Or am I going to be like Elijah said, Lord, hear my prayer today. Because that's how we need to be. It takes me to my fourth point. Do we really mean it? And I've already kind of leant onto it. Sometimes God shows us the idols, the things in our lives that are causing those blockages. And we make a commitment to serve Him only, but then we don't go and do it properly. Turn your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 35, verse 1. Then God said to Jacob, Church, I just want to tell you something. The Lord is busy dealing with us as a people. He's bringing us back to holiness. He's bringing us to be right with Him. He's bringing us to a place where we can trust Him for signs and wonders and miracles here. In our daily walk, people getting born again all over the place. So when I preach to you about idols, it's because God loves us. He wants us to have the blessings. Don't think I'm speaking judgment off this platform. It's the last thing I want to do. God wants us to have life and abundance. Verse 1, then God said to Jacob, arise and go up to Bethel. You know what Bethel means? Beth is the house El God, the house of God. It's like Bethlehem, Bethlehem, the house of bread. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. The bread of life came from the house of bread. And God called to Jacob. He said, arise, go up to the house of God, Bethel, and dwell there. Stay there. Stay in God's house. And make an altar there to God. Worship that God that belongs to the house of God, who appeared to you when you fled from the face of Esau, your brother. And Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, put away the foreign gods, the idols that are among you. Purify yourselves and change your garments. Become different. Then let us arise and go up to Bethel, the house of God. And I will make an altar there to God, who answered me in the day of my distress. Who knows that God will answer us in the day of our distress? And has been with me in the way which I have gone. Who knows that God is with us? He wants to be with us. So they gave Jacob all the foreign gods which were in their hands, and the earrings which were in their ears. Sometimes we need to even take, I'm not saying we don't need earrings, I mean earrings are pretty, but sometimes there's things that represent false gods, and that the occult has a hold on. I picked up a, I hope it wasn't yours, I picked up a bracelet that had been left in church here, a copper bracelet. I thought it had been left here for a reason, because we'd come under attack. You know, the enemy uses stuff, crystals and all sorts of stuff. It was in the front there. I picked it up with something else. I didn't want to touch it. I tell you, my fingers were feeling like pins and needles as I carried that thing and went and threw it away. God uses things, but the enemy uses things too. He will attach curses to things. I got rid of it. I threw it out of the church. I hope it wasn't yours. Don't admit if it was. Right. So they gave Jacob all the foreign gods which were in their hands, and the earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the terebinth tree which was by Shechem. Jacob did two strange things here. He first said, put away the foreign gods that are among you. And then he did another thing. He took those foreign gods and he hid them away under the terebinth tree. Don't you think that's strange? Don't you think they should have destroyed those idols? Burned them, thrown them away, crushed them, made ash out of them, got rid of them. But they didn't. He took them and he buried them. Why did he bury them under the tree? So that they could go back and find them again. Go to the house of God. Go to the house of God. Build an altar there. Worship me there. Worship God in His presence. And go back and dig up those old idols. And you know how different life would have been for Israel if they had damaged and crushed and destroyed those idols in those days. I was thinking about it. The Israelites had problems with the idols of the nations around them forever. They ended up going into captivity. Why? Because they turned from serving the Lord their God and they served idols. Dead, lifeless idols which had no spirit in them whatsoever and no power whatsoever. And that is what I'm challenging you about this morning, church. Are there things in your lives, things that need to be destroyed, things that need to be got rid of and never come back to? Are they hidden in a little portion of your life where you say, okay, I dabbled in that, but I'll go away from it. But you've never dealt with it properly and you keep going back to it and it keeps being your downfall. And you come before the Lord and say, oh Lord, I've done it again. Please forgive me. God is challenging us this morning and saying, get rid of those idols. Once and for all. Don't put them away. Destroy them. Don't bury them and hide them. Get rid of them. Come here to my house. Serve me in my house. And I will bless you. I will give you water. I will give you food. I will give you health. I will give you prosperity. I will give you a good life. And you will live to a good old age. Who would like to participate in that this morning? Where are the hidden things in our lives? What is hidden? What idols are hidden under terebinth trees in our lives? How many more times do we need to come to this altar and come before the Lord and say, Lord, please forgive me. I've sinned. I've done it again. How many times do we need to pray and we find the heavens are brass? God wants to give us an open heavens. He wants to bless us. He wants to give you work. He wants to give you health. He wants to give us rain. But we need to deal with the idols, the things causing blockages in our lives. Has the penny dropped this morning, church? Finally, I want to tell you about my last point is Jehovah Nissi. In Exodus 17, verse 15, and this is a very short point, it says, Moses built an altar there and named it Yahweh Nissi, which means the Lord is my banner. The Israelites had just defeated the Amalekites. Moses had watched the battle from a nearby hill. As he raised his hands, Joshua and the Israelites that were fighting would gain the advantage. When his hands dropped, the Amalekites would gain the advantage. Eventually, Hur and Aaron held up Moses' hands, and by the time night came, they got a great victory. Jesus Christ was raised up. He is our banner. When we look to Him, we have victory. When we look away from Him, when He's not the first, when He's not number one in our lives, when we start looking at those things that are idols in our lives, the enemy gets the victory. He starts gaining ground in our lives. We start going backwards. But the minute we look to Jesus and make Him our banner, we start going forward. We're marching for the Lord. He will give us victory. This morning I want to challenge you. Make the Lord your banner. Say, Lord Jesus, I look to You. I put You first, above everything else, above my feelings, above what I want, above my ambitions, above my pleasure, above my pain, above my work, above my family. Amen. Can I hear an amen? I conclude by reminding what I've said. God has amazing blessings, which He wants to give us. His children. He will bless us with food and water. He will answer our prayers. He will protect us from sickness. The spirit of infirmity, I bind it. He will protect us from barrenness, both physical and spiritual. He will give us long and full lives. He will clothe us. He will give us everything we need. But the condition is this. If we don't comply, we will have blockages. He wants us to serve Him only. God only. We must become a God-only generation and seek His kingdom above all. We must be above all generation, a God-only and an above all generation, and keep our eyes up there. But we need to deal with the blockages. I told you three things. God wants to bless us. There are blockages. And we need to deal with them. Those are the three points. What idols are hidden under the trees in our lives? We need to chop those trees down so that when we go and look for them, we can't find them. We need to come before the Lord and purify ourselves. Then we need to not go back and dig up those same idols that God freed us from before. God wants us to be a free people. It's one of our core values. Free people, free people. If we are free, we will make others free. We need to come just as we are this morning. You don't have to come with ease and graces. You don't have to worry about people looking at you. You don't have to worry what people think. I can come and stand here this morning. Really? I qualify. We need to ask the Lord to purify us. And then we need to walk up to Bethel, the house of God. We need to build an altar there to the one true living God. And we need to say, I've come to worship you, my King. You and you only. Are you willing to do that this morning, church? I trust as I've been preaching, God has been showing you idols, 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 money, family, problems, the little things that God is more, not as important as them. Sleep. Who would have thought sleep can be an idol? But when I need my sleep more than what I need God, it's an idol. God will give us the strength we need. I know we need 8, well, in my life, 6 or 5 or 4 hours sleep a night. I was awake at 1:30 this morning and I was praying. It hasn't happened to me often, but this morning I had a dream. I've been asking the Lord to give me dreams and visions. I had a dream. It was a blessing. And I prayed and I prayed. I prayed for Janet's granddaughter. Pray with us for Janet's granddaughter. Newborn. What was her name? I've already forgotten. Ella. Little Ella. Newborn. One of her kidneys isn't working. We're praying that they will let her out of that hospital. Perfect. Both working. Amen. Can we claim that as a miracle today? Amen. We speak it over her life. We're waiting for the testimony, Dan. Let's stand together. And I want you to do something this morning, church. You don't have to. I'm going to put you on the spot any case. My job. I believe the Lord has challenged us this morning. I'm going to lead you in a song. And as we sing that song, let us come forward. Let it be a sign to the Lord that this message has made its mark. We don't want unanswered prayers. But the key is God first. The kingdom, we seek it first. As I sing this song, sing it with me. Come forward, we're going to pray. We're going to lift our hands here and we're going to pray. I'm not going to lay hands on anybody. We're going to pray and we're going to close the service. Let's come. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back. No turning back where He may lead me. Where He shall lead me, there I will follow. To the house of bread. Where He shall lead me, there I will follow. Where He will lead me, there I will follow. No turning back. No turning back. Sing it one more time. I've decided. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Praise the Lord. No turning back.